Well, hey, we are at the end of a series that I pray you have been enjoying receiving as much as we have been enjoying giving here, called Who is the Holy Spirit? And we have been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to dig into the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. We got a lot to dig into today, so I want to dig in as quick as possible. I'm going to read John chapter 14 and verse 26. We're going to be digging into a lot of scripture, so if you have your Bibles, you want to open them up and just kind of hang out at a passage. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll dig out there in just a minute. But John 14, 26 says this, "But the Helper..." Other translations say comforter. Other translations say advocate. "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." How many know what Jesus said to us? There's a ton. And how do you remember it all? Here's the key right here. Relationship with the Holy Spirit. You see scriptures like this, and you see that the key to living for Christ is found in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I love that scripture right there. It's a good scripture to memorize and know. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word, the ability, Lord, to dig into your word, receive from your word, grow in your word. And I pray, Lord, as I give out your word here today, guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that it would be your word, not mine. I'm here to be an echo, Lord, of what you're saying today to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you know, the point of this series is to point you in a direction of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, to encourage your life to pursue a relationship with the Spirit wherein you are so close with Him that scriptures like Acts 15:28, remember that we talked about last week where it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Like, that's an incredible verse right there, where scriptures like that are being lived out, where scriptures like that are being experienced in your life. But also scriptures like Galatians 5:22 and 23 are being lived out in your life. Some of you know those scriptures very well, especially those of you attending our Fusion Nights on Tuesday night, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? It says the fruit of the Spirit, right, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many want to see scriptures like that being lived out in your life? And also scriptures like 1 Corinthians 12 being experienced in your life, where it talks about not just the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 says, "Brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit." Verse 8 down, it starts describing them. To some people, the Spirit gives a message of wisdom. That's one of the gifts. To others, the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. That's another one of the gifts. To others, the same Spirit gives faith. To others, that one Spirit gives gifts of healing. To others, He gives the power to do miracles, the Bible says. To others, the ability to prophesy. To others, He gives the ability to tell spirits apart. To others, He gives the ability to speak different kinds of languages that they had not known before. And to still to others, He gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives gifts to each person just as He decides. Man, you look at that right there. How many wouldn't want that to be lived out and experienced in your life? Me too. In other words, if you track back to John 14, the scripture we just read, He's called the Helper for a reason. Meaning that there are practical definitions to the help that comes with the Holy Spirit of God. The Helper for your life. If you look at scriptures like Galatians chapter 5, right, the fruit of the Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 12, you see that the Holy Spirit has these tools, these resources, these help aids to give to you, to impart into you, to bless you and your faith walk. I mean, look at the fruit of the Spirit, for example. Right? What do you got? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I mean, look at those right there. That right there is sanity. That's the definition of spiritual sanity. right? Having those things right there coming out of your life. Having those things right there being your thoughts, attached to your reactions. I mean, the reason I say that that is sanity is I did the antonym of it, and just look at the opposite of these things right here. Hate, misery, conflict, impatience, hostility, evil, unfaithfulness, harshness, and instability. How many know that's the definition of insanity right there? And I think many of us have lived in some of those worlds before. And we know nothing good has ever come or will ever come to or from our lives when those things are in the driver's seat. Let's go back to the good stuff, Darren. Let's go back to the fruit. Scripture reveals at the offset of Galatians 5:22 that all of this right here comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? That grow off of the branches of our lives when we, Galatians 5:16, walk by Him, or Galatians 5:25, keep in step with Him. Remember me just chasing Erica around last week. When we follow Him, when we walk by Him, when we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, this stuff right here grows off of the branches of our lives' efforts. And man, do these pieces of spiritual fruit exist to bless our lives or what? I mean, wow. Or the gifts of the Spirit, right? Exist to bless your life big time. I mean, just look at the gifts right here. Wisdom, knowledge, come on somebody. Faith, healing, miracles, right? The ability to prophesy. Discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, again, to bless your life. But as much as the fruit exists, as much as the gifts exist to bless your lives, these pieces of spiritual fruit, these gifts of the Spirit also exist, if not exist more, to bless the lives of others around you. Let me say it this way. A big part to the heart of the Holy Spirit is to use you to reach the world around you. Please know this. The fruit of the Spirit are evangelistic in nature. The gifts of the Spirit are extremely evangelistic in nature. Not just to bless you, they primarily to bless other people. How many know you don't see a tree devouring its own fruit? Right? It exists to bless others. And you see evangelism at the scene, man, after Christ ascended. You see all this going into play after Jesus ascends and the Holy Spirit comes. And what I mean by that is, look, after Christ ascended, what happened? The world was reached for Jesus. 11 disciples, right? 12 minus Judas, through a relationship with the Holy Spirit, literally evangelized the known world. Do you have that map? Which is incredible. This right here, early church, what we know as the known world, this right here are the known churches that 11 guys established. 11 established in the known. And these are just the churches we know about. There were several hundred that we don't know about that are recorded as having been founded in the early church. Think about this right now. From this experience, from this encounter that these had, like, that's ridiculously amazing to see the world that they knew then being covered with the gospel of Jesus. Where did that come from? You see all of that pointing to or originating from this experience, this encounter they had with the Holy Spirit. Because before Christ ascended, you don't see any of the churches being established. There was not one church established before Christ ascended. But you see, before Christ ascended, He said what? You're going to do some great things, but before you do it, wait. Right? Didn't He say that? Wait. Don't do anything just yet. Wait. And we see this statement in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. It says that he's sitting down, he's eating with them. And it says this, that he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but, let's all say this next word together, wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you see in that moment, you see that baptism take place later on in an upper room in Acts chapter 2 at the end of the Jewish feast of Pentecost, or some people call it the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Harvest, which took place, it says, at the last day, 50 days after the Passover. These guys are in an upper room. They're seeking God. They're waiting, just like Jesus told them to do. And then all of a sudden, Acts chapter 2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it says it filled the house where these guys were sitting, about 120 of them in total. And it says that what appeared to be like cloven tongues of fire, these flames, man. How many know this is some crazy stuff? And there's no LSD in the room. Like, this is all real stuff. Like, they are seeing these tongues. I love these visuals. I know they're kind of corny visuals, but I love visual things. I love paintings and pictures and all that. And it says it appears and it rests on each of them. And then it says that they started speaking out into different languages. Languages that they didn't normally know, they didn't know of, but there was people outside that spoke the languages that they're speaking. Because remember, this is the Jewish Feast of Pentecost. There's all kinds of people there coming from everywhere. I mean, it is mind-blowing. Like, this verse of scripture right here just completely freaks my bean, man. It blows me away. Look at that. And it says that they're sitting there, these guys, they're speaking in these languages. Now check this out. It says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they had heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, and because each of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, one of them says, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Right? Meaning they're from Galilee? Meaning they speak one language? Yeah, they are. And they said this, then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? These guys in the upper room, it even shows that Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors of Rome. And these guys are speaking out the gospel in the languages of the people in the streets. Because of this encounter with the Holy Spirit. And after that moment, what you see is the world being set ablaze. What you see is life after life. Let me say this. Countless lives being transformed and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The love of God and the grace of Jesus. I think this was like a great preview moment of what was to come. It's like, look out, world, because the gospel is coming to you. This is what's getting ready to head across borders and streets and neighborhoods and highways and byways. The gospel's getting ready to go out to everybody. They had this experience with the Holy Spirit, this unique and sovereign experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tread carefully here and walk carefully here through theology. As, in my opinion, many denominations have different views and arguments about this subject and this moment in time, Acts chapter 2. And I want to make it clear what we at Journey Church teach and believe. Some believe that it was in Acts chapter 2 here where the disciples first received the Holy Spirit. And that is simply not true. The reason I say that that is not true, and somebody say, how can you be so confident, is you have John chapter 20, verse 22, which is before Jesus ascended, right after he resurrects. He appears to the disciples. And in verse 20, it says this. He's sitting there. He's hanging out with them. It says that he showed them his hands and his side. Hey, guys, it's me. Because these guys are freaked out. Where's Jesus? Oh, my goodness, is this really you? As many of us would be like, is this really you? Here, look, check my hands and my signs, right? And it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, check this out, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And it was in that moment with Jesus, right there, that they had the Holy Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of them as a result of their experience and their encounter with Christ. Clearly seen in that verse. And there are people who believe, particularly some in Pentecostal churches, that when you, not all Pentecostal churches, but certain sects of the Pentecostal church believe that when you accept Christ, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. You have to wait for him. But again, that's simply not true. They didn't have to wait for the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They already had the Holy Spirit, according to John 20, 22. What they waited for was an experience with the Holy Spirit. You tracking with me? Let me just tell you, with your decision for Jesus, at the moment of salvation, know this, you receive the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you. The moment you accept Christ, the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God, just know this and be comforted with this, is dwelling on the inside of you. But back to the disciples here, after that moment in John 20, 22, where they received the Holy Spirit with Jesus, what you do scripturally see is Jesus saying in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, wait, right? For another special, unique experience with the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? He said, for John baptized with water, but here you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The word baptism is another fancy word which literally means to immerse oneself in. It's what it means. It's why we dunk you when you get baptized. You don't see the sprinkles. Not the same. I was sprinkled as a baby and all that type of stuff. We went to a Presbyterian church once. But it was one of those types of things where it was just baptism. The word baptism means to immerse fully, to immerse oneself in. That's what that means. Meaning if you were to go jump into a lake, you are going to immerse yourself in that lake. There's more water than there is you, right? You are just going to be immersed in that lake. And Jesus is saying here, wait, because there's going to come a moment where you are going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be so overwhelmed with an experience with the Holy Spirit, it's going to blow your minds. And you see this similar and separate experience with the Holy Spirit that happened in Acts 2. And you see this experience happening after Acts 2 in other believers' lives. Read Acts chapter 4. Read Acts chapter 10. Read Acts chapter 11. Read Acts chapter 19. You see a similar experience happening with other believers after Acts 2 that weren't there on the day of Pentecost. And so scripturally, what we see is that an experience is available to us as believers, where we, you and I, today, Journey Church, can have a continued experience with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, after you accept Christ, how many know, it's not a one and done moment, as if there's no more to experience with him. But after Jesus, how many know, our experience with him has only just begun. There's so much more. And again, I want to tread carefully here because here again is where people, again, particularly in some Pentecostal church sects, get off, in my opinion, by saying that you need this Acts chapter 2 experience to complete salvation and to get to heaven, which is, again, simply not true. All we need in our lives for heaven's access is Romans 10:9, which says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, right? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Scripture says you will be saved, right? That's all you need for heaven's access, not a thing more. But after that incredible moment where you have your Romans 10:9 moment, hear me today, Journey Church, there is more out there for you as the believer. There is more out there for you to experience with God. And we see that in Acts chapter 2. This baptism experience where God imparted some amazing stuff into his people. We see these fruits of the Spirit being placed in and coming from the life of believers. We see the gifts of the Spirit being placed in and coming from the lives of believers to reach the world and to reach the people around him. And in my study of church history, you see the gospel. What's the definition of gospel? Another word, another fancy word meaning good news, right? You see the good news of Jesus going out to the world, watch me now, on the wings of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. That's how you see that map that we saw take place. The gospel went out on the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. This gospel message was sown into and was the reason for every piece of Galatians 5 spiritual fruit that hung from their lives. When people were to ask the disciples, why are you so loving, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Why are you so loving? Their response would be, his name is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Why are you so patient with me? His name is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Why are you so kind? Why are you giving away things? Why are you giving me the shirt off your back? Why are you giving me your food so that I can eat? His name is Jesus. And after I tell you what he's done for me, you'll know why I'm doing what I'm doing for you. You see great and tremendous purposes to the fruit of the Spirit in the world then and the world today, as we've been learning in our fusion nights. I go on and on and on the fruit, but I want to spend the remaining portion of our talk today hanging out on the gifts of the Spirit that the gospel also went out on to the end of the world. The gifts of the Spirit, there are 9 of them, right? Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, the ability to prophesy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. I think believers today look at these things and ask, are those things really available for my life today? And if so, how and when can I get them? I also think there's hesitancy in pursuing these gifts today, because of the abuse we've seen in these gifts today that have caused, in my opinion, and justifiably so, great criticism and skepticism in the world today, primarily with TV preachers. This person, for example, and you know me, I don't like using this platform to slam other ministers and ministries, but this person is somebody that needs to be exposed as what the Scriptures would call a false prophet. Somebody that takes the gospel and corrupts it every single way the gospel can be corrupted and is bringing it to the world for the deceit of his glory and not the glory of the Lord. This man's name is Peter Popoff. What a name for a preacher, first of all. Now, this is a guy that is mind-blowing. Dateline NBC did an expose on this man just years ago. That this guy in his meetings would literally, please don't write that number down and dial in for free miracle water, all right? It won't do anything. But this is a man that in meetings, people, you know, he claims healings and claims all this stuff in meetings and miracles and the gifts of the Spirit. And before you got into the meeting, you had to wait in a line outside. And there were people, there were ushers, representatives of his ministry that would talk to you and ask you about your life, your personal experiences. And so then afterwards, you'd be in the meeting, and then the Peter Popoff would come on the stage and goes, God is telling, God is giving me a word of knowledge for somebody. There's somebody in this room that recently lost their sister as early as just 2 days ago. And the reason he's saying that is because what Dateline was able to do, they intercepted an audio signal that was going into a private receiver in his ear from an usher who heard from somebody that was talking to him out in the line. And he said, who are you? What's your name? And he said, hold on, this is your name. And act like the Lord is telling him what the person's name is, even though the person is actually feeding him that information. Literally exposed for that. Saying God's going to heal you. Somebody has this ailment. God's going to heal you. And there's not one documented case. And what blows me away is this man is still on TV today. The Word Network. He still has the old lady's pocketbooks hooked. Blows me away. And I think many of us see the abuse of something, and we rush to the other extreme. Let me tell you this right now. The abuse of something should never disqualify that something from having a role in your life. Just because something is abused doesn't mean that we should never let it play a role in our lives. I see a lot of people do that in every area of life. Marriage. I was hurt in marriage. I'll never get married again. Right? Because it burned me. It hurt me. Therefore, I disqualify it from ever having a role in my life. Listen. The abuse of something should never disqualify that something from having an opportunity in our life. And what I want to do is help restore your faith, if your faith is broken, in the use of the gifts of the Spirit, because they are amazing gifts that the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, wants to give to us. The first gift is the gift of wisdom. What's the gift of wisdom? The Greek word for wisdom here is sophia, and it refers to an intimate understanding of God's word and his commandments, which result in holy and upright living. Now, on your app, if you follow along with us on the app, I have everything that I'm saying and more as far as a detailed explanation of the gifts of the Spirit. It literally means the message of wisdom to speak life to an individual, or to speak life into a specific situation that somebody's going to with great understanding and a righteous perspective. I mean, no, we need that. We need messages of wisdom given to us, and for us to receive messages of wisdom. How many have ever been at a situation where you're at a crossroad and you don't know which way to go? And somebody comes and speaks into your life, helps you gain understanding as to the direction you need to go. This can be used, this gift can be used in something as great as counseling to something as small as just a simple conversation where somebody has given you spiritual insight into a situation you're going through. Message of wisdom. God wants to use you to give a message of wisdom out to people. Or the gift of knowledge. Now, knowledge and wisdom in this context are closely related. Paul even says that in 1 Corinthians 1. But a message of knowledge is the ability to bring understanding to somebody's life or situation. How many have ever been through a storm and you just don't know why you're going through what you're going through? Like, I have no clue. You feel like God has turned his back on you, or that God just flips the switch as far as happiness and angry. It's just all of a sudden he's ticked at you. Life is just going against you. How many know what I'm talking about? Some of you may be going through that right now. And God, at times, you'll see, will send somebody, a conversation, maybe, the pastor on the platform, or somebody praying with you, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a storm, confused, but now you have understanding. Wait a minute, I'm going through something for a reason, and this is the reason. And it allows you to embrace challenges and trials and tribulations. Gift of knowledge where you understand what is going on in my life. Clarity to what I'm going through. Then you have the gift of faith. The gift of faith, scripturally defined, is being able to trust God and encourage others to trust God no matter the circumstance. How many of you have ever been around somebody with so much faith? Just being around them has helped your faith. The gift of healing, which is the miraculous ability to use God's healing power to restore a person who is sick, injured, or suffering. That's a gift God, the Holy Spirit, desires to use through us. The gift of miracles, being able to perform signs and wonders that give authenticity to God's word and the gospel message. Man, I'm naturally critical. Naturally critical. Extremely skeptical. Like, I see something, I'm like, what? Is that real? And I'll start dissecting you with all kinds of questions. I just don't like to take things for face value. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen miracles in my life before. Man. The gift of prophecy, to be able to prophesy. What that literally means is to proclaim a message from God to somebody. The gift of discerning spirits, the ability to determine whether or not a person or a message or an event is truly from God. We need discernment. The gift of tongues, which is the ability to speak in a foreign language that you do not have knowledge of, to communicate with somebody who speaks in that language. Tongues in the Bible is just another fancy word meaning language. It's the gift of languages. Again, back to Acts chapter 2, what is it that they spoke? They spoke in different languages that were being heard by people that spoke those languages. That blows me away, man. Because it shows me that God loves you so much that he's willing to transcend the language barrier just to tell you how much he loves you and to tell you how much he has for their life. Look at the result of it. Thousands of people were saved from that moment in Acts chapter 2. The gift of interpreting tongues, which is the ability to translate tongues spoken and communicate it back to others in your own language to let everybody know what the heck just happened. Now, to kind of give you an example of this, you'll see instructions on tongues and interpretation of tongues in the Corinthian church. You see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's really the only place in Scripture where you see direct instructions on tongues and interpretation of tongues. And here's what this means. Can you go to that old school audit? Like this right here is an example of what an auditorium looked like in Corinth, an ancient auditorium. You got to understand this particular passage, 1 Corinthians. We see these books of the Bible. These were letters written to specific people. So the Corinthian church was a church in Corinth, which sat off right there off the Bay of Greece. And this right here is considered to be the first mega church in the Bible. Like you're talking, it was like New York City back. Like people went to Corinth. It was where all trade happened. And so what you have is Jesus. This Jesus revival is blowing up. People are hearing about it, but they don't know anything about it, but they know something's happening at Corinth. Like thousands of people are gathering. This is the ruins of one of those sites. And so what you have is in the middle, you got a guy at Corinth, the pastor who's in Greece speaking Greek, right, to all of these people. But mind you, all of those people didn't speak Greek. There were people that spoke Parthian language, Mesopotamia. There were people that spoke Phrygian. There'd be groups of them sitting like right here, Phrygians. And the guys there preaching in Greek, these guys from Phrygia, they have no idea what he's even saying. I mean, that would kind of stink. But you're there because you want to be a part of this Jesus movement that's happening. You're hearing of signs and wonders and all these incredible things happen. I want to be a part of it. But here they are in the service, and the preacher's preaching. I have no idea what they're saying. This is where you see the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues coming into use. Because God would use somebody over here. They would stand up and start speaking supernaturally Phrygian to the Phrygians. The gospel message. And the guy who's speaking it has never spoken before. And the Phrygians are like, oh, this is awesome in Phrygian. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the gift of tongues that you see. That word tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 means glossolalia, which means a man language. Gives you the ability to speak in a man's language that you know not of. Now, How many know the rest of us that may speak Greek, we're sitting there seeing this awesome Phrygian moment. Everybody's celebrating. We want to know what the heck's going on. So there you see this other gift come into play called interpretation of tongues, wherein God gave somebody the ability to see and understand everything that just happened. So then they would stand and say, this man just said this to these guys, and this is their response. And it edified everybody. That's why you see that. Read 1 Corinthians 14. It'll really give you an understanding as to the gifts of the Spirit with that particular understanding. It's an amazing thing. And I think a reason that we don't see that set of gifts in use today is because a lot of times I think in most places the language barrier has been crossed. Like you see the gospel going out into most languages. It was a gift made to transcend language barriers so that people could receive the gospel. It's an amazing thing. I also want to tell you this. There's a difference in Scripture between speaking in tongues, glossolalia, man language, and praying in tongues. Because you see that also in Scripture, where Paul says, I can speak with the tongues of men, but I can also pray in the tongues of angels, which is a heavenly language that you see afforded to believers as well. Man, a lot of things the Holy Spirit has for a believer. How do you get these gifts? And how do you know that these gifts can be used through you? How many want to know? Like, it's just one of those things. How do you get the gifts of the Spirit? Join us next week. Amen. I'm just kidding. It's really two things. Because you don't... I was getting ready to put on the towel as glasses and set my glasses down. You don't necessarily see a pattern, a step-by-step pattern to getting the gifts of the Spirit. Like, do these four things and you'll have them. There's no book I could sell. It really comes down to two things that I can give you from my life experience. And it comes down to these two words, pray and practice. Pray and practice. First of all, pray. Right? Isn't that what the Scripture says in Corinthians 13? Beloved, I wish for you all the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. That word communion, koinonia, fellowship, partnership, intimacy of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Pray. Get to know the person and the personality of the Holy Spirit. Hang out with the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Spend and dedicate your time talking to and with the Holy Spirit of God. And over time, you will begin to see and experience a pulling toward, at times, certain gifts that He will use you in. It can't be manufactured by your own efforts. I've tried it. It doesn't work. But nonetheless, launch out if you feel He's prompting you towards something. In other words, if I'm spending time with the Holy Spirit, talking with the Holy Spirit, learning from the Holy Spirit, and I feel a passion and desire to see people healed, well, maybe He's wanting to use the gift of healing through me, then start going and praying for sick people. Right? And if you start praying for sick people, and those sick people start to not be sick anymore, guess what? There's a gift of healing that God's wanting to use for you. But if you're going to go pray for 200 sick people and they're worse than they were after you prayed for them, then just stop. Amen. Just pray for them from a distance. Probably not going to be using the gift of healing. But maybe it's knowledge. I remember one time I was like, I feel like God's wanting to use me in a message of knowledge. And so I got with a small group of my friends and Christian friends, and I was like, hey, I feel like God wants me to tell you this. Like, you're going through this in your life, and He wants me to tell you this. Does that make sense? He's like, no, absolutely not. I'm not even going through anything you absolutely said. Nothing like that. I'm like, all right, you know. And I felt so disappointed, you know, like, oh, man, I miss God. I'm such an idiot. And I felt like God in that moment just said, God bless you for walking It's like, pray and practice. You just got to launch out there and follow his lead. It's all faith. And it's not like you're going to be a master at the gifts of the Spirit right at the starting block. Like anything in Christianity, when we start, we look like my daughter Asia does when she starts to walk, you know? We just, how many know this doesn't look pretty? You know what I'm saying? But this is us. When you start to use the gift of the Spirit, you can't tell me that Paul batted 100 early on in his life. In his Christianity, these guys just knocking him out of the park every time. We see great things in the book of Acts with Paul, particularly while he's preaching. It says that there was a slave girl who had a spirit, had a demon inside of her. How did he know that? What was the girl doing that made him think this person's got, not made him think, made him know that this girl's got has a demon in her? What did the girl do? She said this, "This man," are you ready? "Is a servant of the Most High God." That's it. That's all she said. What's wrong with what she said? Is Paul a servant of the Most High God? What she said was truth. What happened in that moment? Discernment. What she's saying is coming from a place that's not God. This girl has, like, that's intense right there. But Paul had to grow to that point. He wasn't batting 100 all the time. You got to pray and practice. Over time, you will get to know the Holy Spirit. And over time, you will get to know the gifts the Holy Spirit wants to use in and through you. The problem is in America, and I'm closing around this time right now, is we don't rely on the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you this? The church of Jesus Christ, meaning every person in America that claims their life to be Christian, that number, year after year after year, continues to decline in America. The church in America is not growing, but shrinking. Can I tell you, in Africa, that's not the case? Did you know that there's such an insane revival in Africa that Christianity is spreading at such a rapid rate that more people are being born again than are being born? Matter of fact, one of the most powerful clips I think I've seen is an evangelist that goes out there by the name of Reinhard Bonnke, who holds crusades in Africa, who went out to Nigeria during the time of a threat of genocide, and he went out there and he said, "Listen, nobody has to die because somebody already died for you." Watch this clip and look at this sight in Africa just a few years ago.
This is the good news of the gospel. You don't need to die. I don't need to die because somebody died for us.
Oh, Nino,
now in the name of Jesus, shout your hallelujah.
Shouts of 5.6 million people gathered in one moment. There was a report of 1.9 million people in that one moment receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Miracles, healings, deliverances, transformations happening at rapid rates. And you see that type of stuff happening a lot. But in America, we're shrinking. I was talking with our children's pastor about this. the other day, and we were asking why that is, and I loved what Danny said. He said, in America, we don't have to lean on him here because we have everything we need. And I thought, how true that is. Why do we need him? We got every definition of comfort available to us. And so we allow those things to replace our reliance on the Holy Spirit. When you see in the continent of Africa where people may not have much, they may not have what we have, therefore their reliance and dependence is solely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you rely on him, things happen through you and it spreads like wildfire. Like it is right now through that great continent. When I was in Mexico, and I asked the worship team if they would to come. When I was in Mexico, I shared this story before, so I'll save you a lot of the details, but I saw miracles like I'd never seen before in my life. God told me to tell the people in the neighborhood we were gathered. There was about 500 people just on a street corner. We had a sound system set up. We just set up. We preached the gospel, and God said, tell my people I want to heal them. I said, God said he wants to heal you. When you say that to people that don't have much, they believe you. They're not sitting here skeptical, thinking you're Peter Popoff. They trust what you're saying. And somebody brought their baby up to me. Baby was right under 2 years old. She said, the baby hasn't walked. Crippled here. Crippled here. You said God heals. Let him heal my child. I mean, on that moment, you just regret saying some things. Amen. You're just like, I remember saying, all right, God, you're the one who's a liar if this doesn't happen. You told me to say this, so it's up to you. I remember praying for that child. And I heard things snap, and I saw. I mean, I saw with my own two eyes, and mind you, I'm one of the most critical, skeptical people that ever. I mean, I feel like I'm one of the biggest on the planet. When I watched this mom scream with this child in her arm and set the child down, and I watched this baby start to take steps first by holding the mom's hands, and I started watching this baby, and the knees started bending, and I started watching a child walk! It blew me away as people screamed and shouted and cried. I fell on my face right there on the street corner and said, God, why is it that we don't see stuff like that here? Let me go back to the conversation I had with Danny. We don't rely on him in this country because we have everything we need. So here's my challenge. Here's my challenge to you. As I close this series on the power of the Holy Spirit, lean on him, depend on him, and you will grow in him. Fruit will grow from you, and gifts will come out of you that you never thought possible. And because of that, I promise you, and I say that because I hold in my hand his word that says so, the world will be changed. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads as we close our time together. I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come, and our deacons that are available for prayer if they would to come. If you're in this place today, I'm not going to ask you to come up here or anything like that, but just in this moment, right where you're at, if you're in this place today and you say, Pastor, I'm one of those people that have allowed other things to grab my dependence. I'm one of those people that have allowed distractions to get in the way and comfort to become my culture. But I've heard God's word and I want to rely on him with my life. Would you pray for me that I do that? If that's you in this room, I want you just to do me a favor. Nobody looking around, just Just slip your hand up in the air right now if that's you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up across this room. Anybody else? Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Once you put them up, you can put them down. Anybody else? Pray for me. Thank you. I want to depend on him wholeheartedly. Anybody else want to make that statement here today before the Lord? I've let things get in the way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, I've let things get in the way. Enough is enough. Thank you. I'm done with not relying on him with everything. I'm done in this moment. My desire is for him to take the wheel. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you. I pray, Lord, for all the hands that have gone up. Father, that you would take them on a journey. This is a dangerous prayer, but oh God, a prayer that carries with it kingdom results. Take them on a journey to total reliance and dependence upon you, that they may exemplify and display the power of the Holy Spirit in and through their lives. Let us see our world changed. Let us see our nation changed like we see the continent of Africa being changed. Let us see it, oh God. Let us see our neighborhoods changed. Like that. We love you, Lord, and all you have for us. Holy Spirit, we embrace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Let's stand to our feet.